So as I started to think about this message, God is our Father. So now you know why I wanted to play Good Good Father one more time. I could not help but think about my own dad. Now, my dad didn't become a Christian until after he had retired. We were at that time ministering in Kimberley, our first church. And I'd have to say, though, my dad, throughout my entire life, was a good father. He was a good father. I mean, he taught me many things. He taught me that family was important. Really important. I mean, he made sure we went camping together as a family. And he built memories of those camping trips into our lives as his kids. He took us to Stanley Park. We lived in North Van. I remember countless times going to Stanley Park, going to Second Beach, going to Lumberman's Arch, just going to the 9 o'clock gun, and just as a family, spending picnics and time, playing catch. He taught us, and he taught me, that our gifts were important. He saw a gift in me of woodworking, so he taught me how to work with my hands and how to take wood and build things with wood. He taught by example. He taught me how to respect people. We had a man in our family's life named Uncle Flip. He wasn't our real uncle. And he was kind of a strange man, but he would show up every once in a while. And now I know he had an addiction, but you know, my dad never pushed him out, always welcomed him into the home, always took care of him. Oh, my dad didn't just teach me by talking and showing me things. Well, he showed me. He disciplined me. He disciplined me in love, though, not out of anger. He disciplined me for my good, that I would become a better man. He protected me. I told you a story, I don't know how long ago, about another boy named Scott, and how I was in the park one day and his dad came out, and his dad was mad at me because I teased his son about his shoes and how the man grabbed me by my ears and swung me around. My dad went down and talked to Scott's dad. My dad protected me. I knew he was always there for me. My dad encouraged me. He was encouraging and supportive. When I came to know the Lord and my dad didn't know the Lord, he didn't say too much about it. But then he knew, like, God was working in his heart before he even came to know the Lord. But he knew that God was calling me somehow, because he said what, you know, he knew that I wasn't happy in my work, and that he said, "What do you want to do?" And he says, "I know what you want to do. Can you do it?" And he supported me even though he wasn't a Christian, and even though he thought that he wasn't too sure about what I was doing, leaving my job as a machinist that paid in 1980 $18 plus an hour to go and become a pastor. He wasn't too sure about it, but he stood behind me. In fact, he told me years later that he thought that he would have to pay for me. He thought I would run out of money when I got to my third year of Bible college, and that he would have to pay for me. That's how supportive he was. He would have paid my way through Bible college, even though at that time he still wasn't a Christian. Was my dad perfect? No. No, because he was human and he was flawed like the rest of us. My dad made a number of mistakes. But outside of God, my dad is one of the biggest reasons I am who I am today. Yet, as great a job as my dad did in raising me, I still came out lacking. Some of that was because of the mistakes he made, because he wasn't perfect and he made mistakes. But most of that lack came from the sinful nature in me and my rebellious spirit and the sinful things, the sinful desires in my heart. I think it's no different in many of our lives. We all come up lacking. For many, our memories of our dads are pretty good. But unfortunately for some, they're not so great. In fact, there might be some here today that their memories of their father are downright horrible. In the end, we all come up lacking and need more, regardless of what our dads were like. And that more, what we need, comes from God, who is our Heavenly Father. He is perfect. We just sang that. He is perfect in all of His ways. He is perfect in every way and makes no mistakes, providing all that we need so that we can become who we were created to be. God is our Father. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. God our Father. One thing I want us to grasp here is that God is not just a father. My dad wasn't just a dad out there. He was my dad. God is not just a God out there. He's the Almighty God, and He is our Father. He is your Father. He is our Father, as John 1, verse 12 states, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. The children of the Father. He gave us that right when we came and accepted Him. We are His children, and God is our Heavenly Father. That is why Jesus taught us when we came to the Father to say, Our Father who is in heaven. Our Father. Not George's father, not Charlie's father, but our Father who is in heaven. He is the best father we can ever have. He never falls short. You see, our Heavenly Father teaches His children, just like my dad taught me. He teaches us through the Bible and the Holy Spirit and through trials. I would have to say that I learned what it means to be a husband and a father through reading the Bible. You know, I have learned and really learned what love is. I didn't really know what love was. I had this deception. This human thought of what love was. But as I read the Bible, I started to find out what love was. I mean, Jesus loved me so much that He gave up everything He died on the cross for me. I have really learned what love is and have been able to apply it to my relationships with Kathy and my children. As I shared last week, before I became a Christian, I was harsh and self-centered. Yet the Father taught me that, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And He gave Himself up for her. That's how much He loved me. How much should I love my wife? The Bible tells me, asks me. Those words ask me, how much should I love my wife? As Christ loved the church, He gave everything. I needed to quit being self-centered, God taught me. And I needed to start giving my wife everything. And that doesn't just mean material things. The Bible taught me to show her unconditional love. Oh, that's only one thing our Father taught me. See, He's taught me many things. He also taught me how to care for my finances. The Bible taught me that. The Bible teaches me and teaches us about tithing and that we can do more with the 90% than with the 100%. He also taught me how to control my anger. He taught me how to love the unlovable. You know, when I first got saved in the church in Duncan, I remember sitting in a pew one night and there was an altar call and there was a First Nations fellow went to the altar and God said, you go and I want you to go up there and pray with him. And God was really speaking to my heart through His Holy Spirit. He was teaching me that God loves everyone. Because at that point, I was very prejudiced. And I just was a new Christian. And I was prejudiced against First Nations people. And God said, I want you to go up and pray with him. And I said, but God, he's drunk. I don't care. He stinks. I don't care. His spirit was so loud and powerful in my voice. And so I went up and I put my hand on his back and I started to pray for him. And God says, no, I want you to put your arm around him. I want you to hug him. God taught me to love the unlovable. Because to me at that time, he was an unlovable. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying First Nations people are unlovable. I'm just saying, in my life at that time, that's what was happening. He taught me by His Holy Spirit. He taught me how to break addictions. He taught me how to break addictions by trials. He continually placed trials in my life till I would break the addiction that I had. He showed me how it works. But He had to keep placing trials in my life till I nearly lost my wife and my kids and my job and everything. God taught me. God taught me. He taught me how to be more of a servant. And these are just a few things because He continues to teach us day after day after day. God is our Father who teaches each and every one of His children. Are we perfect? Not in any area. But the Father continues to teach us, and what He teaches us, we can always count on as truth. He never gives us garbage or trash. He gives us truth. Listen to Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Listen to what the Father is saying. He will teach us. Not maybe, not might, not someday, but He will teach us. God, our Heavenly Father, will now and forever instruct and teach us. Wow. God is our Father. If we look at the end of this verse, we read, I, our Heavenly Father, will watch over us. God, our Father, will watch over us. I watch over my children. I don't know if they appreciate it at all times. I'm sure there are times during their lives when they would have gone, Dad, quit watching so closely. Quit being there. I just want to be myself. But you know, that's what dads do. Because they don't want any harm to come to their children, they take care of them. And they watch over them. But you know, I couldn't watch over my children 24/7. There was times when I got tired and I'd fall asleep during the night. Sometimes my children did things during the night that I didn't know about. Most of the time I did. But you know, were there other times when I had to go to work or I was doing something else and I could not be there to watch over my children, to protect them? It's different with God, our Heavenly Father. As Psalm 121, verse 3 states, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He doesn't sleep. David's referring to God, our Father, here. He watches over us 24/7. He's always there watching over us. And we know if we read in other parts of the Bible that God will never, never, ever leave us or forsake us. He's always there for us. His eye is always on us. In a prophecy to Israel in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, God our Father said these words, So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God strengthened, helped, and protected his children, Israel. That prophecy was for his children, Israel. And he did that for his children, Israel. Do you not think he will do that for his children now? Look at that. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you. Wow. That is our Father who's saying that. 24/7 he does that. Not just when he's awake. Well, I guess just when he's awake because he doesn't sleep. But he's always doing that. And you know, if God watches over the sparrow and concerned about the sparrow and protects the sparrow from falling, how much more for his children? God is our Father who teaches and protects us. But he also disciplines us. Oh, we don't want to talk about this. You know, we all like to think that our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, loving, kind, compassionate, and forgiving, he won't discipline us. I mean, he just forgives us, right? Well, he wouldn't discipline us if we were perfect. But we're not. So I'm assuming that we've all undergone some discipline from God our Father. That was sort of a little bit of a joke. You can laugh. The truth is, when our Heavenly Father disciplines us, it assures us that we are His children and that we are loved by Him. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child." If God is not disciplining us or correcting us, it shows us that we're not His children. It shows us that He doesn't really love us. But the truth is, we are disciplined by God our Father. We are corrected by Him. And we are because we are His children, loved and accepted by Him. We are loved and accepted by Him. Listen to why God, our Father, disciplines us. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 10, "But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness." And then if you read on in the next verse, we would see that those who are trained in discipline, those who learn from it, will reap a harvest of righteousness and peace. In other words, the Father disciplines us because He loves us, because we're His children, but He disciplines us for our good. For our good. So that we will be more like Jesus. And that we could reap a harvest of righteousness and peace. See, the Father wants us to live at peace with one another and peace with ourselves. If we're not disciplined and we're just running rampant, the conviction of the Holy Spirit will start to come and we won't live at peace. But if the Father disciplines us, He turns us to the right path and we can live at peace with ourselves. God is our Father who teaches, protects, and disciplines us. Yet our Heavenly Father is one who encourages His children. In Romans chapter 8, Paul shares some of the Father's encouragement. In verse 28, he says, "In all things God works for good, for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." See, our Father has called us for His purpose, and is going to work all things out. They might not work out the way we think they should, but He will work them out for our best. Then in Romans 8:31, there's a rhetorical question, and it asks, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" In other words, the rhetorical question is, God is for us, and no one can stand against Him. He is our Heavenly Father. He encourages us by revealing that He is for us. He encourages us. But then Paul goes on in that chapter, and a little further down, he writes these words, these things like troubles, hardships, persecutions, famines, nakedness, dangers, the sword. And then in Romans 8:37, he encourages, we are encouraged to know that our Father declares for us that in all these things, troubles, hardships, persecutions, famines, dangers, nakedness, sword, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. That's our Father. Our Father encourages us by revealing that we can have victory. He is for us and has called each one of us. Well, I think one of the biggest encouragements we can hear from God, our Father, is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. The plans are, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God is our Father who encourages us, encourages each of His children. He has plans for us. Good plan. Not to harm us, but for a future and a hope. Those are encouraging words. In today's world, I mean, this morning, after I'd gone over my message a bit, I went and picked up my phone after I'd been praying, and I just looked quickly at some news flashes that had come across my phone, and the news flash said that the United States, if there was a major war, might not win against the USSR or against Russia or against China. But my God says, He is a future for us and a plan for us, no matter what happens in the world. And we could talk about how God is our God who loves us, but we're not going to. We're going to save that for next week, because next week we're going to talk about God is love. God is our Father, and that means He is your Heavenly Father. We need to really personalize it. We need to know that He's our personal Heavenly Father. As though He's our Father in general, He's our personal Father. He will teach you all you need to know. He will protect you as you walk through your journey of life with Him. Your Heavenly Father will discipline you when you need it, but it will be for your good. He will never stop encouraging you along the way. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of your lives. The Almighty, all-powerful, majestic God is your Father, is our Father. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are our Father. And You are the perfect Father. There is none like You. We thank You for our earthly fathers and for what they've shown us. But we thank You that You are the Father who has more and knows exactly what we need and when we need it. Father, have your way in our lives. We surrender to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.